Ahoy there, landlubbers! Whispers in the Sea is an actual play series drawing elements from stories of fantasy horror, political drama, and swashbuckling action and adventure pirate stories. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
I want to avoid any sort of heavy fire at our vessel at all costs, so even something as silly as a banner, if it makes them take a moment to think and reconsider, I would like that very much so.
Bryn, you do what you must. I will simply give them a little distraction.
Felix, you feel that whisper in the back of your mind again. It feels like there's someone, a devil, whispering on your shoulder.
Get that arrow.
Now is not the time. If you would notice, we're in a bit of a situation.
Do you know how to pilot a ship?
In theory.
In theory? Okay.
I've read about it.
Can you turn a wheel?
Yes.
At the helm, you would see, starting at the 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock of the helm, lines of that fuchsia and teal and the wheel glowing with those colors.
That resistance eases as you're able to turn the ship, avoiding this new chorus of cannon fire.
Basically, I just want to totally take their sails out. Just completely maim them. Because if we do that, worst case, we can just leave and they're kind of fucked.
You take aim, you're ready to fire, and the wick goes all the way down, and then there's nothing. As you start to move towards the front of it, it has a delayed fire. You are deafened.
You should tell your crew to cease fire.
Well, and why should I do that?
Simplest answer is because if you don't, then I'll turn the sea red with your blood, and the blood of every living creature on this ship.
I would like to see you try.
All right.
Another voice starts to seem to bellow from underneath the ship. A creature. A leviathan.
What is it called?
Chauve-souris de la mer. It is the bat of the sea. And so Bryn, upon hearing the sound of this beast, phases through the floor of the ship and into the water.
As you are floating here amidst the darkness below the ship, you can hear the distant reverberations making their way through the ocean and up towards you, bouncing off of the bottom of the hull of the ship and then back down. You hear the high-pitched squealing getting closer as you see an enormous shadow slither its way through the water deep below you. You see it turn, and it's starting to make its way up. It's nighttime. Usually, sea bats tend to stay in the oceans for the most part. It's dark down there. They don't have to deal with anything above water. They are fast predators. And they are quick to grab anything that is in their way. But when night comes and the moon rises, they are known to surface. And any ships nearby, any people
nearby are likely to be grabbed up by them if they're not careful and whisked deep beneath the ocean.
Upon seeing this creature, Bryn pulls herself back, or the ship pulls Bryn back inside of it.
As you were trying to pull yourself back in, can I get a break in or out roll?
Oh, shit.
When you see an opening to break in or out, roll plus blood.
Okay. Plus blood, and also plus the blood. Okay. Oh, that's a 7.
7. On a 7 to 9, well, on a hit, you've gotten in or out. Choose one. I will also be choosing one.
Oh, these are all bad. These are all really bad.
They're not great.
I'm gonna say I suffer a harm or a weakness, baby, because the woo! Roll up.
Let's see. I will give you a choice. Would you rather take 4 harm, which would put you on death's door? You wouldn't be dead. You'd be close.
I would be basically dying.
Correct. Or the ship can take 1 wreck, and then you would take half that.
The ship is gonna take a wreck. Holy shit, I'm at 2 HP.
Amazing. Here is what happens then. You see this eyeless, smooth monstrosity slithering its way up towards you, its gaping maw opening. As it is, its teeth are black as obsidian, its multiple rows of teeth sharp as daggers. And as it opens, it's got like the weird kind of like sinuous like membrane in between like the gaps of the like edges of its mouth. As it is opening, trying to suck in water and you along with it, but you are able to tether yourself and pull yourself through, back through the hull of the ship, into the lower deck, right as the sea snake gets its, like, a huge bite into the bottom of the ship. The ship is going to take 1 wreck, so mark that down. And you can feel as both the front and back of your abdomen, it feels like you are being bitten in half. Everybody else on the ship, you all feel like the ship suddenly like rock and like, because it's getting hit from the bottom. And so you feel it kind of shake and then stiffen as something has grabbed it. And then you start to feel the ship beginning to be pulled under.
Holy shit.
Oh, man. We're all on that ship, though.
You all are on that ship. Felix, from your position where you are, I'm kind of imagining during this period of time, you're kind of going back and forth a little bit throwing blows back and forth. You can see the shadow beneath the ocean. You can see this monstrosity grabbing on to this ship, and like you can see it rock back and forth and like slowly being like moved to like be pulled under in a way. That is what you are noticing. But we are cutting to Avery. You were still at the helm. You were successfully maneuvering the ship away from the Sliver of Justice in order to get out of the range of their cannon fire. But the ship has suddenly stopped. And you felt that rocking sensation, the sudden halt, and the feeling of, like, you can hear the splintering of wood from somewhere down below and can feel the ship as it is, like, it's not being, like, dragged under, right? Like, this creature, while large, is not necessarily strong enough to be able, like, it doesn't have the downward leverage to be able to pull everything down. This is what you're feeling is the force of this thing taking a bite and then trying to chew, like, take the full bite. But right now, it's trying to, like, its teeth are not made to claw through ships. But it can do whatever damage that it's trying to do. And right now it's trying to take the full bite, but it's not going great.
I feel like I just want to add that, like, as the crew feels this force at the bottom of the entire ship wails louder than any of the cannons, just lets out a screech.
Yeah. Avery.
I'm just going to look up to Fontaneva, make eye contact with her, and say, it's stopped. There's nothing I can do. There's something underneath.
You say that and her eyes widen. She rushes over to the railing, like looks over down below, and there is the shadow of a mass of a... I'm trying to remember the size you said. You said it was 50 meters? 50 yards is twice a blue whale. I do want us to be so clear how big this thing is.
Yes. Oh, Christ.
Marcy, why does this creature exist?
Because it's neat.
It is neat. It's neat and real bad for you all right now.
Real bad.
So, she sees that and she's like, and you see her go into like, holy shit, what the fuck? Captain Hano, who has been around, actually, I think she had gone below deck briefly, and is now coming out, and you see she has in her hand this enormous emerald green metalled trident. In one hand, and she's like running, and she's like running back up, has like just made it to the top of the deck, and looks around and she says, "What the fuck was that?" To which Fontaneva goes, "It's a seabat, Captain."
I wanted to ask a quick question.
Yes.
Does Fontaneva asking that of me, would that count as her relying on me?
Yes, it would.
Cool. Can I use my bond move?
Absolutely you can. Can you read it for us?
When a crewmate relies on you, add one rank with them or add one rank with a book of your choice. When you trust or confide in a crewmate completely, they add one rank with you or you remove one rank with a book, their choice. If rank can't go any higher, mark experience instead.
Amazing. So... Who or what are you adding a rank to?
I would like to add some rank to some of my books. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. You got some books to choose from.
I got some books to choose from. I'm going to throw that rank at my book called Two Pillars in a Sea of Chaos.
Okay.
So the ability associated with this book is that I can compel one person who hears me read the book to forget a recent event that has happened in the past day and replace that memory with a new one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, you can add one rank to that book. You've been studying it, reading over Two Pillars in the Sea of Chaos. For both everyone else and the audience, Two Pillars in the Sea of Chaos is a... Well, the version that Avery has is an unedited draft of the complete histories of the Holy Marvelian Empire before it was heavily censored and edited by High Emperor Jameson Marvel II and what is now known as the Emperor Jameson version of the book. You planning on using it?
I want it in my back pocket, maybe.
Okay.
I don't have a laid out plan of any sorts. There's no grand machinations going on here, but.
All right. Cutting back to our scene. So, yes, Captain Hano has just come up. She's got her big ass emerald trident. Fontaneva has just informed her that a sea bat has caught hold of the ship.
It's a sea bat?
Fucking things.
I run over to go look, too. I've only read about these things.
Yeah, what you're seeing now as you're going over the edge of the ship is you see this enormous shadow beneath the ship, and you see like parts of its gaping maw of this smooth, silky gray figure, eyeless. What you're seeing is essentially like part of its gigantic maw that is coming out of the water and like clamping onto the ship. It's not like getting the entirety of the ship. Its mouth is probably like really, it's able to unhinge its jaw and open its mouth wide enough to clamp around it. But it's really like taking like essentially like one of those like plastic baggy clips for like cereal bags, you know? That is how it is clamping down onto it. It's not the full length, but it has the jaw force to be able to hold on. And you're seeing as the rest of its 50-yard body below the ocean is kind of whirling itself around and around, trying to create almost like this like suction effect to be able to like force itself down by creating a force to pull itself. And it's like, it's slowly working, but it's not like an immediate thing that is happening, if that makes sense. It is happening. It is a danger to you, but it is not like this is going to happen in seconds.
That's so fucking cool. That's so fucking cool.
Is it toward like, so I'm at the back of the ship with the wheel, obviously. Is it under the back of the ship, the middle of the ship, the front of the ship? Like where?
I guess that depends. Bryn, where were you closest to? The front, back, or middle of the ship?
In the bow.
The front of the ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can still see the shadow of the large snake absolutely. Body like going around because that's how big it is.
I will look over at Fontaneva, who's I'm probably next to her now, looking over the side. I might be able to help. I'm gonna go up front, and I rush toward the front of the ship. I might go actually under the decks to like get near like the ocean more, so that I can get as far down and close to it as possible.
Amazing. As you do that, you're running off to go, you say like you might be able to help to them, and then you run back that way. And I think our camera lingers on Fontaneva and Hanno for a second as they look back and forth and go, what? Okay, whatever. And then Hano's like, says to Fontaneva, you follow him, I guess. He's got something. I don't know. I'm gonna do what I can. And like is grabbing rope to tie around herself to then tie around the railing. And like Fontaneva
repelling
like
off of the ship.
She's gonna go to try to rappel off the ship. So Fontaneva runs after you to follow, and we see Hanno like tie the rope around the railing. Call out a few of the crew members to be able to keep a watch on the rope for her, and she goes diving off the side of it, trident in hand, ready. And we follow Fontaneva as she is following you below the decks of the ship. As you are running below the ship, there is this kind of deep emanating like whine that is happening. Animalistic in a way, where it is this grunting and like the like putting in effort in trying to hunt, right? Trying to take this bite, and it's frustrated that like it's having to go through all of this effort. And so there's just this ooh, like truly like whale sounds as this creature is trying to take a bite out of the ship. And as you are running through the halls, it's just this weird, it's the screaming of, or actually maybe not screaming anymore, because I don't think Bryn is screaming anymore. Now that you're not screaming, actually, if I may ask really quickly, what is the sound of the cannons?
I think at this point, the cannons, it's not about how differently they sound, but like the way that their sound exists. These cannons, when they fire, have an echo and a reverberation to them. And when they explode, whenever, like, instead of a burst of fire coming out of the cannons, you instead see almost like each of the cannonballs looks like a comet.
Has everyone here listened or watched Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Yes.
Yes.
There's an episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog where essentially this gerbil rat man has this cannon that fire, and like when you get hit by it, you get sad, essentially. But the sound that it makes is so, it's stuck in my head, where it is this kind of muted explosion, but the sound of it traveling through the air has this whine to it. It echoes as it moves, as if it's moving through not just this space, but several spaces. And you're hearing it as it's doing it. And so, Avery, you are running through the hallways of the lower decks of the ship, and you're hearing this weird, whining, echoey cannon fire. The high-pitched whining of the sea bat that is trying to munch on this ship. And, like, I don't know. It's this weird, horrific scene as you're trying to keep your balance through the ship that is slowly being pulled under. Where are you headed?
I'm heading, like, as far down in the, like, into the depths of the ship as I can, and as far toward the front, wherever the sound is loudest. And I'm just, I don't know if I've really described it, but I've always pictured that I have this satchel basically just, like, glued to my side. And you just see Avery pulling out a book and rifling through it as I head toward the sound.
You make it towards the front part of the ship where I think the level that you're on, you are actually seeing the teeth coming through the sides of the hull of the ship. And like you can hear the splintering and cracking and creaking of the wooden boards as they are struggling to maintain their structure here. And Fontaneva's right behind you as you're like going through your books and she catches up to you. What the hell is wrong? What are you doing?
I'm trying something. And then I'm going to get down on my knees, basically, and lay the book out in front of me. And I'm going to, like, find the part of it that I want to read. And I'll say, "In my distress, I called on the goddess, and she answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and she heard my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, and the goddess commanded the creature, and it released me from its maw." And I'm going to, like, channel that down into, hopefully, the creature hearing me and use that book.
Yeah. So when you read a magic book aloud, you spend one bond with it to use its power, which is the one bond you just got. The power lasts for as long as you read. And so it's the power is...
Compel one person who hears you read the book to forget a recent event that has happened in the past day and replace that memory with a new one. So I'm compelling it to have this memory of, like, coming into contact with the ship, something awful happened, and then I'm going to also, like, replace that memory slightly with it having eaten more than its fill of fish and, you know, other sea creatures beforehand. And it doesn't want anything to do with this ship. It's gross, and it can't get its mouth around it. Why would it ever want to bother with this? And replace that whole interaction in its mind, I guess, with the fact that it's been fully satiated.
You read these words from Two Pillars in a Sea of Chaos. What does this book look like, by the way?
Since it's, you know, kind of, it's almost like a binder of, like, loose leaf paper, but, like, it has been bound but has, like, an unmarked cover to it, but has, like, a weight to it and a size to it that feels recognizable, but, like, you don't know what it is because it doesn't have its label on it, basically. Where it's, like, anyone who, you know, maybe looked through it cursorily would be like, oh, this is Two Pillars in a Sea of Chaos, but they don't know, like, what it truly is.
Absolutely. You take out this book, you read these words, and there's a moment where Fontaneva is just kind of standing over you like, what the fuck are you doing? Avery, and what is it like when you use these magic books? Is there any kind of sign to anyone around that you are tapping into something here? That you are affecting the world in such a way?
I like to imagine that, like, the words I am saying, like, ones that really, like, carry a lot of meaning, they're almost, like, coming off of the pages and turning into, like, little motes of light that then channel into whatever is being affected by the spell, whether it weaves itself into, you know, a song or, like, a net or a rope. Like, it's doing something. And I think the way this one looks is the words are coming off of the page and sinking down into the ship, in, like, slithering into the creature's ears. Whatever the holes are. You can't obviously see that, but as, like, a hole from the camera, you're just seeing these, like, lights.
Yeah.
Very small slivers. Words turning into these slivers of light.
Yeah. those slivers of light seep into the walls of the ship. And Bryn, there's a certain part of you down deep in the belly of the ship, further down, where you can feel that something is being invoked. It's not from you. It is from something different, something familiar. And I think specifically in this case, something deeply horrifying to you, as the way in which it moves through you is like a gong from a bell. And as those lights move out of the ship and into the seabed, you hear the splintering and the creaking and the grating of the wood as it's struggling not to buckle beneath the force lessen. The teeth slowly unpierce the hull, leaving brand new portholes in the side of the ship for Thorin to fix up later. And I think you hear the whining and almost kind of feel as this enormous creature sinks into the ocean away from the ship. And there is a moment, like, I think you're, like, still reading, right? Because the effect lasts until you're done reading. And at the point where you stop, Fontaneva is just standing over you, dumbfounded. And she looks down at you and goes, "What in the Seven Lords' name was that?"
"I just have encountered some things in my studies, and I wanted to help. Seems to have worked." And I go ahead and I like close up the book and put it back away and stand up again.
She's just staring.
"Shall we head back up?"
"Yeah."
"Great." And I just go ahead and I like walk past her. I try to pretend that this is normal, average, kind of like I'm not making a big deal of it. I'm just going to go back up to the to where Captain Hotto and everyone was.
Amazing. Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to.
Our camera is going to cut to Thorin. Thorin, you are on the floor of the ship. Again, there was the huge rocking and waving and stuff. And
I'd like to think the splint on my fingers fell off and they rebroke during that. Yeah.
Oh, tragic. You're down here, but things have settled again on the ship as far as that goes. You are still deafened and like. There are, like, the gunmen are doing their best to try to, like, organize themselves and like be able to support it, but like none of them are leaders, right? They all are good at taking direction, not necessarily giving it. And so without your guidance, they're a little bit off. But you are coming to a little bit. You're able to understand the situation, the ringing in your ears. Yeah, what do you do?
So I do appreciate that during the time period that I fucked up a cannon roll, and before I got up again, Bryn summoned a sea bat and Avery took care of it with book magic. I just think that's really neat and cool that all happened while I was sitting on my ass in my splint getting fucked up. I'm going to try, partially just because Thorn can't think right now, the exact same thing we just tried to do. And that is, again, doing a barrage in such a way that totally maims the ship. It is dead in the water. It could not follow us because of the sails being demolished. So, do we want to go... Is that plus one, or do we keep it plus two?
Do you think that Thorn is able to find a way to communicate what he is trying to do to everyone else?
I think Thorn knows how to stand up, stomp on the ground, make sure that, you know, he's got everyone's attention, say an order, start to do it, and them kind of muscle memory get in the groove.
Okay, then yeah, you can get the plus two on that.
10.
Ooh, amazing. On a 10, you get to hit what you want.
Yes.
You are getting to the point where you are slowing down the ship in its active pursuit of you.
So did I succeed at it being dead in the water?
Or? It is mechanically not dead. It has a mechanical point when it is dead.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You have to do a certain amount of damage. You are at the threshold of when it is about to be slowed. Two more, and then it will not be able to move.
All right, guys, I'll just be down here.
I mean, other people can also do things to cause wreck damage, but this is a surefire way to definitely do it.
No. This is just going to be Thorin's station during this, and... For every turn, I'm just going to keep trying to do this to basically just kill it in the water. Yeah.
Awesome. So as our camera follows one of these cannonballs as they are careening into the top deck of the ship, taking out some of the naval officers who are beginning, because they feel that they are getting a little closer to the point where they need to start thinking, okay, what happens when we board? And they're starting to get those preparations ready. We see the continuing sword fight between Felix and Captain Hubert.
I just want to say, as the battle has gone on and we've taken more damage, some of the walls of the ship and the cannons have started leaking a similar dark blue with like metallic glinting bits from like each of them. Like the mouths of the cannons have this like that dark ichor pouring from them after each shot.
That's good. Felix, you're sword fighting up here. What's up?
Okay. A lot has happened since we last checked in over here.
Yes.
And I think Felix is maybe not feeling like it is in his best interest to continue this fight directly,
mm-hmm.
as he's been doing. First of all, this is not a move.
Okay.
He says to Captain Hubert, "Well, this has been fun. Certainly, I'm sure you'll agree. I would like to give you one last chance to leave here alive."
I'm imagining this is happening, and of course there's no like mechanical thing with this, that the two of you are doing like, you know, the testing of each other back and forth, parrying, testing blows, before either of you actually go in for like a true strike along like the bow of the sliver of justice. And he returns, "But my friend, I don't believe that we are done. Oh, you losing your spine already? I thought you pirates were, how you say, better than that?"
Felix responds, "Some pirates may be, but my friend, I can be so much worse than you can possibly imagine. If Felix quietly mutters, "Get the damn arrow for you if you help me out here." And what I'm doing is I'm doing the section of the Devil's Contract move. I'm going to take the Bedeviled Weakness to mark one luck.
Okay, interesting.
And then I'm immediately going to use that, and I'm going to use Dark Magician again.
Of course. So you're only spending one luck for that. All right, roll 2d6 plus Spitfire.
That's a 7.
Ooh, okay. So, on a 7 to 9, roll 1DU, so 1D6, to determine which one you're going to get. Or you can take one harm to add or subtract one from whatever result you get from this D6 roll. So if you get a 3 and you're like, oh, I want 2 or 4, you can take one harm to make it a 2 or 4.
Yeah, okay. So to be clear, I had one luck left. So now I have 2. I am spending 2.
You are spending 2 luck. Got it. Okay, awesome. So same deal, except you can instead take 2 harm to be able to choose which one that you're going to get, or you can take 1 harm to add or subtract 1 from the result.
Yeah, I'm going to roll. I'm going to roll.
Okay, cool.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted. It's a 3. I can create chaotic fireballs and infernos in the air around you.
Okay, cool. What does this look like?
Felix is going to transform back into the bird, and as he does so, a swarm of other birds made of fire and smoke spring from where he flies away from.
Jesus Christ. yeah. Okay, cool. To add on to the sequence of events, in order for you to be able to get away from this situation, I'm going to need a break in or out roll from you as a bird. Do remember that you are not in control of this move, Damien is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Remembering that, roll your 2d6 plus blood.
That's an 11.
An 11 on a hit. You've gotten in or out, and you're going to choose one. Or I should say, Damien's going to choose one. And I think this is actually just a natural consequence of what's happening here. You fade into smoke as you take a step back. And Captain Hubert goes to take, like, a quick thrust at you. Like, through the smoke, and out of the smoke flies dozens of smoky, fiery birds pluming from this puff of smoke and out towards just like out flying chaotically around the ship, past rigging, past the flags, past the mast, past people catching their clothes on fire, catching the rigging on fire, catching the ship on fire. And you, amongst all of these, are able to fly away. And this fire and this smoke begins to choke the people around here. And as you're flying off, you hear in the back of your mind that deep, treacherous voice seeping in like smoke.
You're leaving quite the trail, aren't you? Some assassin you've turned out to be.
Felix responds, "Oh, don't write me off so quickly." And he directs the flaming birds to enter the gun ports of the ship and trying to ignite as much of the potentially very flammable material that is in there.
Damien has chosen you leave evidence or attract attention. As you're flying off, I think from the other ship, Thorin, you see this. Avery, by the time this happens, you've made it back to the top of the ship where Captain Hanno is climbing back up the side of the ship. She is drenched. spear is bloody. She was down there doing stuff. And then saw that it was quick time to leave before things got too bad. And so she's climbing back up to the top of the ship with the help of the rope ladder that some of the crew have thrown down for her. And you all see as like one of the crew member calls out, pointing out towards the sliver of justice as arcing rings of fire coalesce at like towards the center of the Navy ship, up, arc and ring around back in towards the gun ports. And there's this moment of silence before a fiery ball of light explodes from the ship. You've dealt 2 wreck damage, which is enough to leave the ship stranded. And all the people here who also probably died in that explosion.
Not to mention, that's a really loud sound.
Real loud sound. You tell me how you land.
I actually think Felix is maybe a bit overtaken by adrenaline and doesn't really go for anything flashy. I think he just kind of like lands and transforms back as quickly as possible.
You land right in front of everyone. I'm going to say, Thorin, you having seen the explosion and such, you and the rest of the gunner crew come running up to top deck of the ship around the time that you land, transforming back in a steam wafting off of you after like a hot shower. Sure. It's like a mask being peeled off as it starts from your front and then like kind of flows backwards, and you are revealed beneath its dissipating mask. And everyone on the crew just kind of stops and stares. All of you are in witness, and I don't think anyone has any questions about who did this.
Well, I suppose we can add this as a bullet point in the next team meeting. Good job, Felix.
Felix, like I said, adrenaline, but like when he hears that, I think that snaps him back a bit, and he composes himself and he takes a bow.
As a bird or as or have you turned back into Felix?
Yeah, he's turned back into Felix.
Okay.
Captain Hanno's nearby.
Yeah, Captain Hanno is amongst the people gawking at you.
Yeah. He turns to her and like gestures sort of to the off in the distance the other ship, and he says, "Does that count as protecting the ship?"
Yes. Yes, Felix.
Glad I could help.
There's a few of the crew members who, like, start cheering and immediately, like, come to your side, like, put, like, fucking, like, bro-hugging, like, pats on the back, like, Felix, whoa! Like, they're going crazy for you. And, like, dragging you back. I think Johan is already, like, tapping into a keg, ready to like get some drinks for you. You obviously get the first mug. Captain Hanno and Fontaneva just watch silently. The ball of fire still in the near distance. Avery, Thorin, how are the two of you feeling?
Thorin can't hear, and while Thorin had already come to the point where he wants to kind of emotionally support the crew every time they do something good because he feels bad about how shit, you know, chucked off.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just this concern and a bit unnerved with who are these people?
Yeah.
Because the cannons were screaming and screamed so loud that I can't hear. And that was a sea bat. Just come and gone. Think I saw some glitter coming down from somewhere. I don't know. You know, as far as the book was concerned, Thorin, and then while very grateful, genuinely, that Felix did what he did. That is an eerily similar way that his ship went down. Not so much firebirds, but as far as explosives going off on a ship and it just fucking decimating, crippling everything.
Yeah.
And Thorin also knows that they have to get the fuck out of there. All of these emotions are consuming, and then it all circles back around and hits him again as, I'm deaf still. And he just kind of sits down.
Yeah. Avery.
Avery has just come back up to the top deck and probably just saw the explosion happen moments after he arrived back, and is just kind of hanging back and getting the lay of the land and seeing, you know, who's coming from where, what exactly happened, trying to figure out, put all the pieces together, and is also just like keeping an eye on Fontaneva because I don't think he expected her to be so surprised by what he did. So he's, you know, just like looking around and notices that Bryn isn't there. So I think is going to at least log that away and maybe start like actively seeking Bryn out in like the top of the ship area.
Our camera moves from Avery as he recognizes an absence here and begins searching for the person to fill it. And it moves down below the decks to the lowermost deck where Bryn is. It's all over now. The sea bat's gone. The navy is no more. But you're still here, hurt. The ship is hurt. How do you feel?
Bryn is dazed, sitting on the floor of the lowermost deck, holes in the vessel, water coming in, patches and puddles of that same dark, shimmering ichor mixing with the water almost looking like the night sky. Bryn is simply staring into the water, thinking about how helpless she feels. That even the act of trying to fight is something that can destroy her. Thinking about how trying to take agency of oneself to save oneself betrays the trust and can harm all the people that she wants to protect. And she has to sacrifice her own safety and her own agency in order to be trusted by the people on this ship.
As our camera hovers over Bryn, curled up on the lowest deck of the Bois Perdu, in a pool of stars and color, we fade to black. Good job, gang.
Whew.
Wow. What a session.
What a session.
What a session indeed.
That was fucking wild. You guys are crazy. Let's do our in-session moves, BB. I'm going to start with Avery. Avery, did you defeat a major foe?
I'll say maybe yes with the sea bat.
Big, sick, yes. Did you gain significant treasure?
No.
Did you accomplish one of your goals?
Yes.
Amazing.
Was useful.
I agree. You get to choose one of those things. You can mark one experience, add one rank with someone, or a book, or clear all of your weaknesses.
I will take rank with another book.
Okay, which book?
I'll do the first and second contract.
Ooh, okay, awesome. Ellis and or Thorin, did you defeat a major foe?
I helped.
Yeah, no. I think basically everyone here helped in the defeating of the Navy. So I would count that. Did you gain a significant treasure?
Yes. I pocketed the arrow.
Yeah, you've got the magic arrow now. Did you accomplish one of your character's goals this session?
Yes, we are riding away from safety.
Big sick. All right, you get to mark one experience, add one ranked with someone, or clear all of your weaknesses.
I'm going to mark experience.
Okay, awesome. Felix, did you defeat a major foe?
Yep.
Gain significant treasure?
Nope.
Accomplish one of your character's goals this session?
Yep.
Awesome. Mark one experience, add one to your rank with someone, or clear all of your weaknesses.
I think I might add rank with Damien.
Ooh, yeah, that makes sense. And last but not least, our good friend Bryn. Did you defeat a major foe?
I don't think so.
Gain significant treasure?
Nope.
Accomplish one of your character's goals?
Nope. So the reason why I say this is I don't think that my character enacted in any way to succeed, fulfill those goals.
Yeah.
Yes, those goals, like, those things didn't happen.
Yeah.
But, like, my character didn't do anything to really make that the case.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I understand that. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Whispers in the Sea. I have been your most humble of game masters, but this isn't about me. No, 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 no. This is about our fantastic crew. And how about you
It's about you too.
Yeah, no, what the heck?
No, it's about me at the very end. But Gus, please tell people where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me on the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr now. I have, I was going to say I moved to Tumblr, but I moved to Tumblr in the sense that I posted nothing on Twitter, and now I post nothing on Tumblr.
Yet.
But all of those are August_Knobbe, K-N-O-B-B-E, except I believe my Tumblr does not have the underscore in it. It is just August Knobbe. I do music. Look for that. It's coming up. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
Music soon.
Amazing. Hilda!
Hi!
You want to tell people where they can find this podcast on the internet?
Come find our podcast. We are still on Twitter and Tumblr now. And come join us in the Discord, which is in the link of both of those bios, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What's the at?
The at. Tales Yet Told.
Yeah.
That's everything. I guess, and if you want to, if Tumblr is going to be a thing, come follow me on Tumblr. I'm Little Goody Two Shoes on Tumblr.
Hey, yo. Finally, the Hilda.
Oh my gosh, that everyone's blog. Been waiting for. Yeah, exactly.
The people have been screaming for this. Amazing. Marcy, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Soapy Squid, SoapieSquid. I may be also moving to Tumblr soon. We'll see if I get the user I want. If you want me on Tumblr, I'm actually going to change a little bit. You'll find me under Full Moon's Embrace. Thank you guys for listening. It's wonderful, and I hope to see you in the Discord because it's a nice little place.
Yeah, we've been getting a nice little gang of people, especially as everyone is trying to flee, is jumping from the burning tower that is Twitter.
But no, seriously, join in. There's a lot of fun little combos and stuff. And I don't know how to, like, express. I don't want to speak for the entirety of the rest of the team. But, like, anytime you guys, like, mention anything from an episode that you found interesting or liked, it really means a lot.
It like, puts life in my veins.
It genuinely, yes. Like, can take a bad week to just a really, really good one. And so anytime you guys have anything that you just want to talk about or anything, if you're in there and we look at it, even if we don't comment, just know that, like, probably one of us is looking at it and you're making our day, like, actively better.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Love you all so much. Ellis, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter, again, until you can find me on Tumblr.
Everybody's joining Tumblr, baby!
Woo! I'm never horrifyingly left. Returning to my roots. I was a Tumblr delinquent as a tyke. But it's been years since I've walked on that soil, so it's bringing up a lot for me. Anyways, you can find me at Twitter at horror writer spelled W-H-O-R-E underscore or underscore the word writer. And I am sad and I post art. So, you know, if you want some of that, by all means.
Who wouldn't? And here we are. It's me. It's your boy with an I, Kendo, with an O. You can find me everywhere on the internet, which now also includes Tumblr at Kendo Makes Films. And you can find, well, this actual play podcast, like Hilda said, on Twitter and Instagram. And please, 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 please take the time right now, if you're still listening, which I hope you are because you're sweet little darlings, go rate and review us wherever you're listening to this. It helps us so much, not just because like it feels nice to see what you guys think about us, but also it helps us to grow and helps other people to be able to find the podcast. We put no money into advertising this podcast. I put a decent amount of money into making it. We put no money into advertising. And so literally everything is word of mouth or things that people have seen that we post on social media or that other people have posted on social media. You know how many people that I know, good friends of mine, who are like, oh yeah, I've told 3 or 4 people to go listen to it and they listen to it and they love it. You can be that person for your friend. Show them things that you like. People like it when you tell them the things that you like. And if you like this podcast, hopefully you'll tell them about us. But all in all, don't forget to go out, eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself because, well, self-care is very important, especially in the times we're living in now. And don't forget to love yourself, friends, like we love you.
I love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Ew.
Member of the Rainbow Roll Network. Rainbow Roll.
Our stories, our voices.